This is Lauren Bon, and welcome to Dub Labs Out There. Imagine a soundscape that not only stimulates your auditory senses, but also connects us with the more than human world. Metabolic Sonic's groundbreaking practice, in which we have literally broken through the concrete of the LA River, fuses the machine with the biological.
Welcome to Undevelopment One, also known as The Moon. This is a virtual tour made from documentation of Metabolic Studios' public tours of this site, which were held in the summer of 2025.
What would have happened in a storm before there was asphalt, before the LA River was paved and looks like we know it today in our lifetimes, before all these buildings were here? This would have been considered the floodplain. Every time it rained, all the nutrients, soil, seeds, and duff, and bacteria, and good minerals, would have all mixed and landed in the basin that we now know as the LA River. And this was the place where the indigenous folks grew a lot of the food that they needed with the flooding of the rivers, and knew when to move out and when to move back in. So what can we do in our capacity here in 2025 to return this to as much of a floodplain as possible? A floodplain wants to be a floodplain again.
Accompanying this audio track, you'll find an image of this site from 2012, when it was still a tow yard.
Every space here was covered with a car. Lauren purchased this land in 2015 in order to save it from development and becoming like a high rise. And then it started with a process of unsealing different areas, right? So unsealing means taking off the asphalt and then seeing what's underneath, seeing what will happen. When they originally cut these different areas of study, they were cut into circles, right? So we had 60-foot circles that had, one of them had a plant type, another plant type, a compost circle, so all different things just to see what would happen. We also had a core sample done. We dug all the way down to the water table to see the different elements and the makeup of the land here. And we found that the top 6 to 7 feet was the toxic topsoil that was just sort of dumped on top. And we imagine from the construction of the river channel or the construction of the railroad tracks. I'm gonna jump forward just a little bit to 2019. That was the first year we started the Bending the River project. Through that project, we were able to get floodplain that was buried underneath the concrete jacket of the LA River channel. So again, instead of just throwing that in the dump, as a lot of construction projects would tend to do, we brought that to our site and added it to one of the circles just to see what would happen. And all of a sudden, there was a lot of new flora and fauna. An injured coyote lived in that back circle. One of the greatest things our mycologist found was mycorrhizal fungi. He had been looking for it prior to the floodplain coming and hadn't seen it in connection with any of the plants. So once the floodplain came, he was able to find mycorrhizal fungi that was growing with the plant roots, especially of the mule fat plants. So 2021, we spread it all over the site. It wasn't about, you know, making a beautiful landscaped area. It was about repairing of the land and unsealing the earth, letting the earth breathe again.
I've been present in this space for many, many years, and I've watched it evolve. And all I want to say is, Undevelopment One, to me, is the embodiment of an alternative that we're indoctrinated to believe is not possible. But it's literally happening right here at the site. The whole intervention on Lauren's part to prevent gentrification at the site is really, really important because this whole area of Lincoln Heights was going to be marketed as the Water Wheel District to commodify Lauren's practice, because at one point in time there was going to be a water wheel that was going to be constructed here. That would have been antithetical to Lauren's entire practice. The site is addressing remediation. It's incorporating community process into healing the land. It's showing firsthand that disturbance can actually foster regeneration through moving mountains. How do you clean contaminated land without kicking the issue downstream, right? We've remediated this site without having to export anything. It's all handled here, and we've seen a significant reduction in lead over time. We've done that while simultaneously creating a thriving floodplain ecosystem. So we've done remediation and restoration work simultaneously in one space.
Segment, the team discusses water management and conservation at Undevelopment One.
All the water that we use here on site for experiments and irrigation is collected from our rooftops. So between this site and our other site, we collect over 350,000 gallons every year, cleansed through a system called the Portable Wetlands. It's a series of bins with the solar panels on top. And those bins hold scoria, which is lava rock, and native riparian plants. And as the water goes through three of those, it's clean enough to become irrigation water. So we've been doing that for over 10 years at both this site and the other site. And we're always trying to get LA sanitation to like put big green tanks everywhere. They haven't really done that yet.
percent of the rain that falls on the LA basin, because we're so heavily paved, goes straight into 1,300 miles of storm drain pipe and straight out to either the LA River or to Biona Creek or one of our other concretized waterways, and it goes straight to the ocean uncleansed. As we walk, you'll see we're walking on these kind of open pavers. There's floodplain between those as well, really to open the soil and again, let it breathe, but also let it catch all the water. This site used to be flat, right? It used to be a parking lot. So you can see we've terraformed it, and underneath are logs and layers of landscape debris to kind of create hoogle mounds, to hold the water, to create little microclimates, and just with floodplain and logs and soil, right? So the importance of topography on a site for water capture.
We irrigated the circles for the first couple of years with all the rainwater we were collecting, but we haven't watered anything since we brought the floodplain. With the exception of anything we're growing, like the corn that we're growing is irrigated here. Basically everything is off-grid now. Now that things have matured and established themselves, there is no irrigation happening here.
Now we'll introduce you to Lauren Bond's ongoing project called Bending the River. This will help explain some of the artifacts you'll find around On Development One, including the large concrete triangles.
So prior to the LA State Historic Park being LA State Historic Park, it was a train yard, and obviously before that it was a floodplain. The train yard was placed on the floodplain, so it didn't really work because it was always flooding, so they closed it. When they closed it, it was basically a brownfield because of all the toxins and toxicity that came from it being a train yard. So it was closed. It's 32 acres, so that close to downtown, it became a highly desirable piece of property. And developers really wanted it. So the neighborhood, Solano Canyon, Chinatown, all the neighborhoods around were really against it being developed into, you know, factories and high-end residential properties. So they came together, and Lauren also joined in the fight along with some others to really push back against that being developed. So California State Parks actually bought the piece of property, and then it just kind of sat there because they didn't have the money to actually do anything with it. In the meantime, Lauren was like, can I come in and help clean the soil? So remediate the soil. The idea was to use corn, which is a bioremediator, along with the wastewater of the LA River. We obviously are highly paved in Los Angeles. 80% of the water that falls on the basin goes into the 1,300 miles of storm drain pipes directly to the LA River or to Biona Creek or one of the other concretized channels and straight out to the ocean, not really cleansed, just wasted, right? And 12% of the water that comes out of our tap is local sources, recycled and ground, and then the rest is all stolen from the Colorado River, from the Eastern Sierras, and from many other places. And doing that, stealing the water from these other locations, obviously causes various different environmental issues. Hopefully you all know about the Owens Lake. If you don't, you should definitely look it up. But by draining it so quickly, it created an environmental disaster, which DWP now pays for to keep the sprinklers on, to keep the dust down. The idea was to take water from the river to irrigate the corn, to cleanse the soil. And so Lauren and team were taking water trucks down to the river, filling it with river water, bringing it up, attaching it to the irrigation and growing the corn. Until LADWP said, absolutely not. That's our water, we own it, you can't do this. And so Lauren was like, well, it's just going out to sea. How do I get to use this water?
And they were like, you have to get a private water right. Knowing that like nobody had had a private water right and most people probably wouldn't take them up on that. So she is very persistent and decided to push towards that. And after about 10 years was able to get the first LA River water right to use 106 acre feet of water to irrigate the what is now the LA State Historic Park, as well as Downey Rec and Albion Park. So we have a pipe in the Spring Street Bridge to bring the water across. And so that started the whole kind of process of bending the river. How do we get the water out of the river to our site? So in 2023, after 3 years of construction, we put all the pipes that we needed to in the concrete channel of the river, and we have a stilling well on our site. In doing so, when we cut the concrete to put the pipes in the river, normally we would just jackhammer it and it would turn into kind of rubble and it goes to the dump. Lauren was not interested in that. We try to use everything that we touch and affect. And so she had them cut them in these giant triangles that we'll be using for sculptures and building material and all other kinds of things. And when they pulled up that first concrete triangle, underneath the concrete is actually like this really beautiful turquoise water and floodplain material. There is the river under the river, right? There's water right under the concrete. And it's much cleaner than what's in the low flow channel, obviously, because it's not storm drain runoff and all of that stuff. And so when they pulled that up, she was like, we should actually try and keep all of this as well, because it looked really clean and healthy. Let's bring all that floodplain material that we need to excavate to put pipes in to this site. So they brought the first load for the from the first construction in 2019, put it on the site, just let it be exposed to sun and rainwater, and it exploded with all these plants. So there's all kinds of latent seed in the soil, which we did not expect. So in the next two stages of construction, we brought all the rest of the floodplain material here. So that's what you'll see. It's a little more grainy and a little lighter color, and it's throughout this whole back section of the property. It's also between these pavers. But it really started this idea of like soil as repair and remediation. So when we're doing construction and we're just sending stuff to the dump, you know, we talked about how important topsoil is and how we're lacking it in most places. It's actually here.
Here, the team pauses to point out the original Zanja Madre bricks, which you can find installed in the ground at Undevelopment 1. This small replica can be filled with water from our rainwater tanks, allowing visitors to learn about the history of this early colonial water system.
The Zanja Madre translates to Mother Ditch, and that was the first way that the Pueblo was able to be built. If you're familiar with Olvera Street, that is the first area that was settled in Los Angeles. And so they needed water, obviously, and so they started with this brick. What you see here is actual brick from that Zanja Madre. When they were building Blossom Plaza in Chinatown, the contractors stumbled upon some of it in place. And, you know, their contract was to build Blossom Plaza, not save historical brick and historic material. So they were ready to demolish it and just throw it in the dump, because that's typically what happens in construction projects, right? So here at Metabolic Studio, as you can tell, we're trying to like have a new paradigm, a new shift, or a new conversation around what you can do with construction materials. And so this was kind of one of the early examples, you know, of us like intervening with a developer who was ready to throw this to the dump. And so we stopped their project for a minute, and we were able to mobilize enough trucks and manpower to save a large portion of the actual Zanja Madre brick, you know, from when it was originally constructed. And when they did that construction, it was built in the ground, as you can imagine, in different phases. And it was a full pipe when we pulled it out. We lifted it out and put it on the truck bed, and as soon as it hit the truck bed, it all collapsed, because it was never meant to like withstand and hold its own weight outside of the ground. But it collapsed in large chunks and large pieces, so we were able to save them.
We as a city tend to glorify the Zanja Madre, and I find that a little problematic, only because, well, one, the Zanja Madre was built by using slave labor. The Spanish missions, the San Gabriel mission, enslaved the Gabriel Tongva, Shoshone Keech, to excavate clay, fire it, create the brick, to lay it down, to excavate the ditch. And so the very foundation and founding of our city was built on the backs of indigenous peoples. So that's one reason why I find it problematic. The second is because we glorify the Zanja Madre. It brings us back to some nostalgic time in our city when we actually used the Los Angeles River for our water, as opposed to stealing water across the American West. But if you were to ask the LA River how she felt about the Zanja Madre, she probably will say, the Zanja Madre was the first point in time when I was reduced to just a resource to exploit, as opposed to a biological dynamic system with its own autonomy, right? And so for me, the Zanja Madre marks just the very beginning of our colonial experiment to steal water across the American West and to build this city and colonize indigenous peoples. I think it's absolutely beautiful that now this, a piece of the Zanja Madre, once a colonial sort of tool, is now here laid down to bring water back to the floodplain. But the Zanja Madre and the way that we fetishize it today, we need to do some unpacking on that, right? Because if we really want to think about the river as a lifeline, as something that we want to rekindle as a living, dynamic, biological system of its own, we might have to start thinking about the river as more than just a resource, more than just something to exploit.